Welcome to Defining Roles, a podcast about jobs you may have never heard of. I'm your host, Kate Barrett. Let's explore the possibilities of what's out there so that we can find our perfect role. All right, this week on the podcast, we are talking to Amber Arnall, and she is a real estate broker. And I wanted to sit down with Amber and ask her some questions because I have been noticing there's a lot of people that are getting their real estate license and jumping into the industry after we've had so many transitions recently. And Amber has been in her role for several years now, so I figured she'd be a great person to dive in to see what the role consists of and some of her skills that have made her successful. We also jump into the conversation of first-time home buyers because this is a demographic that she specifies in. And it's really interesting to hear how she walks people through the conversation to see if they're ready in a place to, you know, look for their first home or if it's as far off as they think. So that's a great conversation if you're not looking to transition, but just curious about, you know, what to do if you're thinking that home buying sounds so far away. And Amber had some great suggestions there. Before we jump into the conversation this week, I'd love to invite you to jump over to Instagram and connect there at Defining Roles. I like to give a little behind the scenes and just a little more picture of some of the stuff that I'm working on. So if you're on Instagram, connect there. Also, if you haven't already, I would much appreciate if you would rate and review the podcast over on Apple, iTunes, just so that you can help more people find the conversations we're having. All right, let's jump in with Amber. Amber, thanks for joining me on the podcast today. I'm excited about our conversation.
Me too. Thanks for having me.
Would you start by sharing your official job title?
Yeah. So I was actually thinking about that earlier. I am a real estate broker, technically, in the state of Washington. That title has sometimes different meaning in different states. So, you know, some states say that you're a real estate agent. Some call you a broker. In our my specific industry, we have designated brokers and whatnot. So there's a lot of different names, but essentially, I am a real estate broker helping people buy and sell their homes.
Would you quickly give us a brief overview of the real estate industry, how it works? So you mentioned working as a broker. So you work for a team, correct?
Yeah. So I'm in a little bit of a unique situation. I would say that, you know, most people don't work on teams. Most people are individual brokers working for themselves. But I just happen to be in a group. There's three of us that all work together, and we have another a few other people on our team as well. But really, the three of us work as brokers with the clients. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can format a career in so many different ways when it comes to real estate, whether that be like a supportive role, or maybe you're just working with buyers or just working with sellers, or there's so many different niches to it. So depending on where people's interest lies, they can really kind of run with that in a lot of directions. And mine just happened to be finding a team that I gelled really well with, and I like the direction that they're moving, and it worked well for my specific scenario and stage of life. Mm-hmm. So I've just been fortunate enough to partner with them, but by no means is that quote unquote the most common route to take.
Okay. Do you guys cover buying and selling?
We do, yeah. We work with both buyers and sellers. Sometimes someone is a buyer and a seller at the same time even. Mm. But yeah, we do, you know, a little bit of everything.
Very cool.
I will also say I only work in the residential sphere. I don't do any commercial work. So I'm really just licensed and focused on residential real estate.
Awesome. How would you define your role?
You know, I think the easiest way to describe my role personally and the way that I've attacked real estate is really more of a more of like a consulting perspective. So, you know, any real estate broker can open a door for you. You know, there's big companies out there that make it really easy to set up appointments. It's so easy to search for houses online nowadays that most clients are, you know, kind of taking that on themselves. But really, you know, I think where my strengths come in and where my role is most evident is, you know, in helping people make the right decision for them specifically, whether that be like game planning for, you know, where they want to be in 5 years and how real estate might help them get there, or finding a house to fit their needs. We really focus like a lifestyle perspective over anything else. So it's really that consultation that makes us unique. But in that, you know, we wear a lot of different hats, from anything from marketing to understanding contracts to, you know, customer service. There's just a lot of different roles at play, and it just depends on, you know, what your client needs and what's going on with each specific deal.
Very cool. That transitions perfectly into my next question, which are, what are some of the hard versus soft skills? So hard skills I define as some of the technical training that you need to know. And then soft skills are more of the transferable things that you are innately good at. What are some of the things that you use in your role?
Yeah. So, you know, as far as hard skills go, obviously you have to study, take a test, take a lot of classes before you get your license. In the state of Washington, it's about 90 hours to get your license, and then you take the test, and then you have renewable licenses every 2 years, and that's about 30 hours of education, which is really great because it does kind of help sharpen those hard skills that we'll talk about. And I would say most of that really focuses on educating us on contracts and a lot of the ethics involved with real estate. But they also go into depth, you know, there's classes on marketing and all sorts of varying skills that someone might be lacking in. And then you can kind of work to build those as needed. Because there are a lot of different roles within real estate. And, you know, I think my soft skills would probably be just working with people. I do a lot of listening, a lot of reading between the lines of what people tell us versus, you know, how that applies to purchasing a home or their motivations and goals and all that kind of stuff. And then customer service was something that I've, you know, kind of had applied in other jobs getting here today. So I see that transfer a lot. But really, I think it's just the working with people aspect. That's, you know, it's a business of relationships. And so that's really important. And obviously is something that can be learned. But if you're innately good at that, it's a plus.
Yeah. I just watching all of the, you know, fun HGTV shows and all the house hunting, seeing when couples have a different idea of what they're looking for in a house and how you even help at moments the communication within the relationship to bridge the gap of compromise.
Yeah, we do a lot of, you know, house hunting therapy, I'll call it.
Oh my goodness.
We also hear a lot of like secrets or like, you know, aspects to relationships that maybe even their friends don't get to see. So, you know, I feel really lucky that people trust us enough to bring us into the fold of such personal aspects of their life. Yeah. But it doesn't come without, you know, a level of power that you have to be aware of.
Yeah.
And yeah, definitely we'll walk into a house and, you know, the one partner will absolutely love the style and the other will hate it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that happens and, you know, you just kind of help them work through it and guide them and talk about facts and all of that. And usually there's a good resolution at the end.
Are there certain tools that you use or do you have a system of discovering what people are looking for? So kind of like a checklist, or when somebody comes to you, what is the plan of how to figure out what they want?
Yeah, so we do pretty extensive introduction meetings with all of our clients where we sit down usually for an hour and a half to 2 hours And we asked them, you know, all the general questions that any real estate broker would want to know, like how many bedrooms do you want and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But then we really, the questions that we're most interested are lifestyle based. Okay. Because we find that, you know, someone might say like, oh, you know, I really want a lot more space in my condo or apartment or, you know, my home, but then they also want to be really close to restaurants and bars and that sort of thing. And so mm-hmm. working within their price range to see what actually is going to give them the lifestyle they want, both at home and when they're out and about, is really important. So, you know, we kind of get to the nitty gritty of what it is they actually want in life and why and how that is reflected in their home.
Very cool. Switching just a little bit, would you share with us your career journey and maybe where you started and how you ended up in your current role?
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Where do I start? So it's always hard to know how far back to go.
Yeah.
I think it kind of started in college. I actually interned in commercial real estate through the sales program that I did at my university. And residential real estate wasn't an option. So commercial was just as intriguing to me. Mm-hmm. I really was fascinated by that world and wanted to get a better glimpse into it. So I did that for about 2 years in college. And then post-college, I kind of had like a need to go fly for a little bit and not start in the real world right away. So I actually moved to LA and worked as a makeup artist in the film industry down there because I figured if I don't do it now when I have, you know, no kids or career or anything else to focus on, I'll never get to do it. So I went and did that. And, you know, while I was working on building up my makeup career, I started a role with a staging company down there because I've always loved houses. I've always loved decor and decorating. So it was a really fun hybrid of things that I love. And it was kind of my more stable position, I guess you would say, to just make sure that I'm paying bills while I chase this other dream. And in the process of that, I realized that I really loved working for the staging company. I did, you know, I wasn't necessarily designing the homes, but I was working with the clients and talking to them about the market and that sort of stuff. And I just really loved it. And I'd always, you know, based on my commercial real estate experience, I figured if I came back home and started down that route, I would at least have residential real estate as a backup. Mm-hmm. Was kind of my fail-safe if I didn't end up liking the commercial world. And then after my experience in staging and working with homeowners and that kind of stuff, I realized that it was the residential side that I was really drawn to more. Mm-hmm. So when I moved back home after I was done on my adventure, my grand adventure, I started down that route and I did a lot of you know, research and interviewing people that had been in the industry for many years and different brokers and managing brokers, and realized that that was where I wanted to be.
Awesome. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So did you choose to work on a team just kind of the getting your feet wet, or what was your draw towards the three brokers that you're working with, or the team of three? Yeah.
Yeah. So I came into real estate planning to work on my own, and I did for about a year, I guess it was. Mm-hmm. And I was really just getting my feet wet. You know, there's a pretty steep learning curve in real estate, mm-hmm. and I was determined to speed up that process as fast as I could. So, you know, obviously you can read all of the books and take all the classes, but until you have a real world application and are actually working with clients and in the depths of a deal, you don't really understand the complexities.
Yeah.
And so, you know, obviously I was doing decent. I had some of my own clients and was, you know, trying to learn as much as I could. And I started partnering with some agents in my office, just asking if they would, you know, kind of let me shadow or work on a deal with them for free, even just so that I could get that experience and speed up that learning process.
Yeah.
And in the midst of that, you know, it was kind of a funny scenario. I almost felt like I was being courted by a few agents of like, oh, well, like maybe we'd make a good team. And, you know, I was curious because I, you know, I figure you have to be open to any sort of opportunity that comes your way. But this specific team, I didn't really have my eyes set on them. They seemed like they were just, you know, doing great and killing it on their own. And I didn't really have a ton of contact with them, to be honest, until my managing broker at the time suggested, she like brought me into her office and was like, hey, I really think you should connect with this group. And for whatever reason, she saw that it would be a good match, and she was right. So I, you know, started popping into their office and asking if they needed help on things or if I could shadow. And after a while, I kind of wore them down and they brought me on full time, and now we're all a big happy team.
I love it. What does the day-to-day look like?
Oh, it's different every day. And, you know, that's actually one thing I really love about the job is it always looks different. So, you know, there is a little bit of a heartbeat to the week, you could say, right? Where you kind of expect certain things at certain times. You know, we try and have weekly meetings for various things, but, you know, really our clients drive our schedules. So if the client needs you at a certain time, you have to be available or make something work. So, you know, some days I'm at multiple inspections, or some days I'm out touring with clients. Some days I'm really just in the office most of the day doing administrative work, or meeting with our marketing team, or, you know, I don't even know. There's so many hats in real estate. So it really, really varies just depending on, you know, what the market is looking like. When the market kind of slows down, that's when we'll focus more on, you know, our marketing and administrative side just to fill in those gaps. And, you know, when clients are all busy and all wanting to buy a house the same week, you're really focused on taking care of them and going to meetings that meet all of their needs. So the answer is it's always different. There's no baseline of a day.
Which is cool, because some weeks that are slower, you can enjoy it because you also know that the busy weeks will be coming.
Yeah. And that is actually something that I've really struggled with. So I realized in this career that I don't do well going from, you know, it's not necessarily the zero to the 100 that bothers me. It's the going from 100 back to zero, right? So I'm great when it's all busy and hustle and bustle. And then as soon as it stops, I'm like, well, what should I be doing? I need to be doing something. And I've had to learn, because I absolutely wear myself ragged after a while, that you do have to take in those slower seasons. And, you know, if you have a light day, just embrace it, focus on yourself, get the stuff you need to do done so that you are available for your clients when they call again.
What would you say sets a good agent apart from the rest? Because there are a lot of agents out there. What's the difference you see?
There are a lot of different traits, and, you know, there's a lot of different very successful agents that work in very different ways. So, you know, I don't want to, by no means is what I'm going to say an end all be all, but I think genuinely caring about your clients is really important. If you're just looking at them as a paycheck, you're never going to give them the customer service that they deserve, nor are you likely going to get them back as a return customer, a return client. I would also say, you know, staying on top of education and the market, because especially, you know, my market specifically can change rapidly. You know, one week, one neighborhood is hot, and the next week it's a different neighborhood. So you have to have a heavy pulse on what's going on everywhere just to be able to advise your clients the best that you can. So, you know, the education aspect, whether that be understanding contracts and being able to make sure you're meeting timelines, and, you know, understanding the legal ramifications and advising clients on that, is also really important. And then I think, you know, obviously things like marketing play a part into how you're, you know, how people see you and how, you know, well qualified or good you are at your job. But really, I think that it comes down to the education and the care that you take with your clients.
So good. What is the most misunderstood aspect of your role or the industry as a whole?
I guess I would say that it's that you control your own schedule, which you do to a degree because you can agree to take an appointment or not, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that you control who you work with. Like if you don't want to work with someone, you don't have to. But really, you know, my schedule is definitely managed by my clients, right? If they need to see a property at a certain time, I might have to move things on my end. Yeah. So that's probably the biggest thing. At least that's the biggest thing that I've experienced.
Yeah.
And you know, that it's, you know, easy and you can make a quick buck, which like, I'm sure for some people that might be true for an amount of time, but, to really have a good real estate, long-lasting real estate career, there's a lot of, you know, blood, sweat, and tears that goes into it and in building up, you know, who you are, building your, you know, your education, all of that.
Yeah.
It's really important.
And I've noticed recently there's a lot of people that are getting their license and getting into the industry. Have you noticed that similar trend?
You know, I haven't necessarily noticed like a huge spike. It might just be, you know, different networks at different times of life. And I think that anytime there's some sort of a market shift, which obviously some people are feeling with COVID and whatnot, that can, you know, people can start to explore different career options or whatnot. I would say that, you know, real estate always has new people coming into it and it always has new people leaving as well. It's, you know, I think that everyone that started with me, like around the same time in my new hire orientation group, is already out of the industry. So there is a huge turnover. So yeah, you might just like notice a lot of people getting into it, but I think it's whether or not they stay is the question.
Okay.
But totally possible. I think I might just be busy in my own little world and not noticing all the newbies, especially because we can't go into the office right now because of COVID. I don't see people quite the same way.
Yeah. Which I will ask you about pandemic trends in just a second. But first, I want to ask, what would have been helpful to know when you started out?
Yeah, I think just knowing that there is that big learning curve and bracing yourself for that. You know, I think that I did a lot of research before I jumped into this career. So I felt pretty ready to make that jump. But from what I see from a lot of other people is they just think like, oh, this will be fun. I just get to see pretty houses and, you know, do some market research every once in a while. And the reality is there are so many other hats to wear and it's much harder than you think. Both, you know, real estate will touch on every emotional cord you have, every insecurity, every time someone you love decides not to work with you, it hurts you. You can take it personally and those kind of things. And so a lot of new agents, have a tendency to get wrapped up in that. And I'm sure I fell privy to that as well. I mean, I remember there were a few deals where I was like, oh, that one really hurt, but I get it. I'm new, you know, and I know I can do the job, but proving that to someone who hasn't seen your outcomes yet is hard. So, you know, just be ready, buckle up, keep your head down and keep learning as much as you can, be a sponge because there's so much information coming your way. And then, you know, don't try to be the expert in everything all like at the beginning, right? There are so many ways to succeed in real estate. Maybe it's, maybe you're the condo expert, or maybe you're the expert on a specific neighborhood or a specific age group. So really focus on the aspects that you can and the parts of the industry that you find joy in. If you don't like working on a certain type of property, for example, well, then don't focus on that, or maybe don't take those deals. You refer them out. You really want to feel confident that you're giving your clients the best that you can, and, you know, are the best advocate for them. And so, you know, don't necessarily fake that. Just focus on the things that you know you're good at and that you enjoy doing.
That's so helpful. On that note, it just popped in my mind of kind of like different groups that you worked with or you can work with. And thinking of, I know you have several friends who have bought, you know, their first house, and it just makes me think how unique or what a monumental stage that is, and how there is a challenge with a lot of millennials to buy their first house. Mm-hmm. What would your words of wisdom or kind of insider knowledge be on doing research to see if you're in a position to buy a house? Because I have a few friends who it seems so far away, but then when they start getting into it, they realize, oh, it's more approachable than I thought. Would you dive into that?
Yeah, I run into that all the time. So, you know, speaking of niches, I would say one of my main client groups is first-time homebuyers, and that's partially just because my network is that, right? You know, most of my friends or people I went to college with don't own homes yet. So that's been an obvious sector for me to focus on, and I really love it just because, you know, you get to really educate them and empower them to do this really big, exciting first step of life. Not first step, but step in life.
Yeah.
And it is much more possible than you think. I mean, my husband and I bought our house, I guess it's what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe? I have no idea on comprehension of time anymore.
It's all
blurred together.
Suggestion, yeah.
And he was, you know, I remember, like, I obviously am ingrained in the industry and that's how my brain works. And I would be like, we can do this. And in his mind, he was like, no, we can't. We absolutely can't do this. You know, he just had a mental block that it was this big thing and so scary and so impossible. And I really got to break it down with him and explain to him, you know, the benefits. And, you know, I think a lot of millennials, they're so focused on saving for this big purchase. And then, yeah, you know, the idea of, you know, your monthly expenses going up so much, and then you're not going to be able to save as much anymore, but you're saving in a different way. Your money is transferring, you know, you're putting money into your house instead of your bank account, right? So there is a mind shift in that, but just start exploring that process. If you're ever interested, exploring can't hurt. And I think that people are scared that they're going to get the answer that it's never going to happen. And that's just not the reality. Like, if you want to buy a house, there are ways to make it possible. So, you know, reach out to your real estate agent friend. If you have a friend who's a loan officer or works for a bank or something, like, kind of chat with them. There's so many articles online that you can read about, you know, what sort of things you might need in order to be ready. But really just starting those conversations early is important. I mean, my mom was really important in, you know, integrating that into my life and my thought process as far as having those conversations way before I even was ready to consider it. But, you know, that obviously sped up the process for us when we got to the point that we could make it happen. So just understanding the process is half of the battle. And once you get there, once you have like some information under your belt, it makes it a lot easier. So there's tons of first-time homebuyer classes or websites, and really even just sitting down with someone for coffee. Like, I think people are scared to take time out of my day and ask me things, but like, I love that. Like, I'm more than happy to share this knowledge that I have. I don't want to keep it bottled up for just me. Like, I want everyone to feel empowered enough to buy a house and feel like that's something that they can do. So, you know, reach out to that person that might have some information that they can share with you. And I'm sure they'd love to help you get going.
That's so great. And I think from my personal experience in different areas, you don't know what you can do until you see what it actually takes. Have the conversation to go, okay, if the answer is I'm not ready, at least I know what's the next step.
Yeah, and you can in the direction game plan, right? Like, yes. You know, we've had clients that have been like, okay, like I have enough saved, I'm ready to do this, and then all of a sudden we send them to a lender and they don't have enough forms of credit, or you know, like something really odd that would have been so easy had they reached out a year earlier to get started. So it, you know, and those kind of things make it sound so scary and impossible, but they're such minor tweaks that you can make within your lifestyle that make it possible. And it, you know, that information is, I wouldn't say it's like easy to get because it is kind of personal, right? Like someone has to like look at your situation to know how to advise you. But if you're willing to have that conversation, most of the time they're really simple changes that make a big difference. Or even just like, you know, something that we see a lot is people will get a loan on a car before they're ready to buy their house. And a lot of times that can affect your debt to income ratio. So, you know, changing the way that you spend money at certain stages of your life can have a huge impact on your buying power and your ability to get into a home sooner than later, which is an appreciating asset over a depreciating asset.
Right. Oh, so cool. I love this conversation.
It's so fun. So yeah, I mean, just reach out to people. I think, you know, most people in the industry, if not all, like love to talk about it. There's a reason that we do this, and it's because it's fun to us. So never hesitate to reach out.
And to have it feel empowering, I think that's just that choice of mindset rather than, you know, being subconscious about things. It's like, no, this is your chance to grow.
Well, for sure. And you know, you so many times you're given a decision to do A or B and you're like, well, I don't really know what the right answer is. And so if you have some sort of guidance in your back pocket and someone to lean on, that can feel a lot better, especially for us millennials that just kind of have a tendency to float in the wind sometimes. It can help you feel a little more grounded and like you have a direction and a goal to move towards.
Yeah, very helpful. So now on to the pandemic. How has your role been impacted by all of this?
Yeah. So, you know, I think we were shut down for a whole 2 days. So, you know, it was a little wonky at first. We all weren't quite sure what things were going to look like or if how the market was going to respond. But all in all, you know, things aren't too different. Like we're, you know, everything is online. Clients can sign documents remotely. We were doing all of that before anyways. You know, you could have a Zoom conversation. I worked with out-of-state clients all the time. And so, you know, I was already doing a lot of this stuff or had the ability to do it. The biggest difference is just the amount of time that we do have face-to-face with clients. So, you know, I do see clients when I'm showing them a house. We stay 6 feet apart. We wear masks. I use a gallon of hand sanitizer a day, probably. I'm practically bathing in it, I swear. But, you know, I'm missing, you know, like introduction meetings that we used to do in person where, you know, you really felt more connected to one another and could open up a little bit more are now on Zoom. So that's a little challenging. You know, we used to drive clients around, like buyers, for example, drive them from house to house and then go in the houses together. And we would call the car our classroom because, you know, you talk about the neighborhood, you know, reflect on the house you just saw, and you get more in-depth conversation than you do just in the house when you're distracted by taking in the house and looking at things, right?
Right.
And so I, you know, I am missing a little bit of that, and I hope that we can get back to some semblance of a normal work world again. But all in all, you know, it's totally possible to buy and sell in this market. Contractors are a little bit harder to get into houses, and some of them don't like to work alongside each other. So, you know, planning ahead if you're looking to sell so that you have enough time to get everyone in. Just because, you know, like our stagers, for example, can't have anyone else in the house when they're there. So we have to block off a whole day or sometimes even 2 days just for them, where we used to be able to be like, okay, our handyman's going to be there touching something up and our cleaners are going to follow up behind you. You know, like we used to be able to kind of stack things a little bit more, and now we have to space them out. So that's taking a little bit more time. and more manpower, but it's all totally possible. So don't be scared of it.
Yeah. Have you noticed trends on maybe places that people are moving, or has any of the asks been different?
Yeah. You know, I think that the biggest market that's been hit is really rentals within the city. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you know, the condo market, which is, you know, somewhat tied, you could argue, is been hit a little bit, but we're still in a seller's market here in Seattle. So, it, you know, that is a little bit tougher if you have like a one bedroom or a studio condo, you know, someplace where someone wouldn't want to spend 24/7 mm-hmm. in, can be a little bit more difficult to sell right now.
Yeah.
And we have noticed buyers, wanting a little bit more outdoor space than normal or a little bit bigger. You know, like where someone used to be like, oh, I don't really need an office at home. Now they're like, well, I'd like to have a place that I can make into an office. It doesn't yeah. necessarily, you know, some people want a designated room and some people just want like at least a nook or a corner that can be transformed into that. I think because yeah. most people don't expect us to be here forever.
Right.
So it's hard to make a big purchase based on that.
Yeah.
And then homes are, you know, very popular. Everyone wants a yard right now. If condos have any sort of outdoor space, they seem to be doing better than condos without, you mm-hmm. know, anywhere that allows you a little bit more private space that you used yeah. to utilize public space for has yeah. been more important now than ever.
Yeah. That's, I mean, it's just funny how all those little things add up, but they do contribute to our happiness absolutely. Right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's important. I mean, we have a roof deck and a little backyard at our house, and I'm so grateful for them. Like I talk to friends that are in one bedrooms apartments with their significant other, and they're just losing their minds. So, yeah. you know, like, I totally get it. And so I think that's spurred on a lot of people that were maybe on the fence or not quite focusing on it to get into the market, which, you know, our market has definitely been on fire recently. It's been very, very busy. So I yeah. think we are seeing that result from COVID. You know, a lot of people are saying that there's this huge move of people moving to the suburbs too. And there's a little bit of that, but not a lot, not as much as people are saying. So I'm really curious to see the numbers on that as they continue to come out, because there isn't a lot of evidence. I think what we're seeing more so is people that don't own homes are, or like millennials who don't own homes are moving home to be with family who maybe have, you know, where there's might be a little bit more room, or if
yeah.
they are around more people instead of being by themselves in a condo or, you know, with one roommate. But there isn't this like giant flight to the suburbs taking place. People are still buying homes in the city and still want to be somewhat close. So that's,
yeah,
you know, that's what we're seeing.
Cool. I like it. Last question. What is the best piece of career advice you have either received or that you would offer to others?
You know, I think I touched on this a little bit, but find your strengths or the aspects of the job that you love and lean into them. And, you know, I think I see this a lot with social media even, where we're like, well, we have to be on every platform. We have to have visibility. And like, if I hate using Facebook, why would I try to be on Facebook, right? Like yeah. you have to find the aspects that work for you and, you know, really make those work. Don't try to do it all is really what I'm trying to get at. Because again, you're not going to be the expert in every neighborhood and every type of home and every type of buyer and seller. It, you know, you have to pick the parts that work for you and that you like, that make you enjoy what you do in order to keep going. Cause it does, you wear a lot of hats and there are a lot of things you're expected to know. And so if you're trying to do too much, you'll just end up not being close to the expert in any department.
Yeah. Awesome. Amber, thank you for your time. This was fun.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And I, if anyone has questions and they send them to you, you're welcome to forward them on over and I will do my best to answer anything.
Wonderful. I will link you below if that's something you're okay with.
Absolutely. Yeah.
big thank you to Amber for sharing a little bit about her role in the real estate industry. I know I learned several things, and I love the takeaway to get specific and work on being really great in one area rather than trying to cover it all. I think that's so true and it's applicable to so many industries. And what do you know a lot about? So Amber's expertise in first-time home buying, so helpful. And then also sharing those tips that, you know, ask the questions to see how close you may be. Don't assume that things are really far off. So great takeaways there. If you know anyone who is considering the real estate industry, they're in a transition, or if they're, you know, thinking about first-time home buying, share the episode. This may be helpful and give them a glimpse into some of that insider information. All right, I hope you are doing well and taking care of yourself. I'll catch you next time on another episode of Defining Roles.